thought on this Mother's Day, I would introduce you to the wisest woman in the Bible. She goes by the title Lady Wisdom. And I want to read to you her words in Proverbs chapter 8. That will be my text today, Proverbs chapter 8. These are the words of Lady Wisdom. Does not wisdom call out? Does not wisdom raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call out. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. Now, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death." The word of the Lord. Sue and I are going to go see my 95-year-old mother today. My mom, still to this day, is quick to give advice to her son. Often wise advice. When I go now, most of the time we speak Italian so that I can keep sharp in my Italian for when I go to Italy, you know, those times. And she's quick to correct. Now, I know my vocabulary. I even know my grammar. But sometimes my word usage, like just the other day, she said, "Paul, don't use that word. You always used it." I always say, like I go into a restaurant, I say, I want a menu. I say to the taxi driver, I want you to take me to this restaurant. She said, "That sounds very bossy. You need to learn the word please. And you need to learn the word I ask you to please give me." Okay, so I changed it. My mom's quick to give advice. My mom is quick to tell you that she lived during the war. She lived in Rome when it was occupied by the Nazis during World War II. And she's quick to tell you that they didn't have much food. The food supply lines going into Rome were blocked. So there were days where they had no food. They had a little bit of water and a little bit of flour. And there were days where she only ate a bread with it wasn't even bread. It was flour and water. And that's what they ate. And so now you're eating and she's quick to say, "Finish what's on your plate. Take what's on your plate. Clean your plate up." And now that we're adults, she won't be quite so forceful. She'll eat what we leave on her plate. And she'll say, "It's because I was in the war." I used to have to warn my friend Matt. Matt would come over to visit us. And I would say, "Matt, if my mom gives you something to eat, you got to clean your plate." He said, "Well, what if I don't want anything to eat?" I said, "Oh, then you can't come over." Because as soon as you walk in the door, she's going to say, "Matt, are you hungry?" Now, if you are hungry and you want a meal, then just say, "I'll have a little bit," and she'll give you a huge mound of pasta. If you're not hungry and you want a little bit, then you just say, "No, thank you, Mrs. Sartorelli. I don't need anything at all," and she'll give you a little bit. "Well, what if I don't want to eat?" Then you stay outside, man. Because of the war, my mom's school was interrupted, so she was really big on school. You have to study. You have to keep your grades up. Three of her four kids did graduate and or postgraduate work. So it's, in a sense, it worked. But she always used to tell us, you have to pay attention to your grades, to your studies, or your life will become a mess. Okay. We still today require wisdom and advice for all of our life, not just from my mom, or our lives will become a mess. And so that's why I want to take us to the book of Proverbs today, to Lady Wisdom. Because in the book of Proverbs, you have this main character, and she plays the role of wisdom. And it is from her words that we will listen to. It is her that we will be exposed to today, and we will understand a little bit about the wisdom that it takes to live the right kind of life. That's what our Mother's Day will be. We will expose ourselves to a lady's wisdom, and it's all of Proverbs 8. Now, I say wisdom, and what do you think of? Maybe I say wisdom and I ask, who do you think of? Wisdom is a hard word to define, isn't it? I know when I see it, oh, that person. I know when I don't see it. You do too. Wisdom is a really important part of life. So I took a crack, and I've been massaging this all weekend long. I took a crack at the definition. Here's my definition. Although I want to replace the word way with the word skill. Wisdom is the skill of living, thinking, and relating that honors God and places and blesses people. It's the skill of living. Think of a skill. It takes skill to play this guitar. It takes skill to be a school teacher. It takes skill to dance ballet, to bake goods. It's a skill. And wisdom is the skill of living well and living rightly with respect to God and to others. And wisdom, my inclination in working with people most of my adult life, is that it's a skill that's desperately lacking. Sometimes we think that the Christian life is all about rule obeying, about law. If I just do the right things, then I will be pleasing to God. There's more to life than obeying the rules. Okay? Here's a rule. Christ-following girl, Christ-following boy fall in love and they get married. Okay, that's the rule. Don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. If you're a follower of Christ and you've fallen in love with someone who's not a follower of Christ, not going to work well. Make sure you're both believers when you're married. That's the rule. But that's not always wise. Just because they're both followers of Christ doesn't mean they will necessarily mesh. Make sure it's wise as well as lawful. Does that make sense? It is scriptural that we all work. You got to work. You got to earn your keep. Just because you get a job offer, you've been told to work, it might not be the wisest thing for you to take that job. Wisdom steps in and fills in the gaps when we blindly just try to follow the laws correctly. And I'm afraid that in the human race, as well as in the Christian church, that wisdom is often in low supply. So that's why we're looking at wisdom today. The longer I pastor, the more I see this contrast. I bless those, and many of you are this, who live wisely. Your words are wise words. The way you handle money is with wisdom. The way you raise your family or your children is with wisdom. And yet, and maybe it's just because I'm getting older, over here, I'm just amazed at the utter lack of wisdom that so many people demonstrate. It's like, really? What would your mom say if you did that? Just, I'm almost discouraged when I see the lack of wisdom. Both are there. Because guys, what's church all about? It's more than just coming here and maybe seeing some friends and checking a box and even saying, I love you, Jesus. Church is about life change. And when lives stop changing, we're just wasting our time. I was a young lad. I was wise beyond my years, just in this one place. In many other ways, I wasn't. I was a 27-year-old seminary graduate, just finished my pastoral internship, and had to do my my ordination exam. So all kinds of theological questions, all kinds of really tough questions. It was about a three-hour exam. At one point, one of the fellows asked me, who was on the board. He was one of the elders of a church, and he was a stockbroker. And he asked me the question, if somebody in your church wins the lottery, and they tithe their winnings, what are you going to do with the money? I said, is this a trick question or what? You going to take it? Yeah. Oh, so you approve of gambling. Wait a minute. No, I don't approve of gambling. And then again, and this is a 27-year-old kid looking at an elder in his church. I said, wait a minute. You're a stockbroker. That's a form of gambling. What about you? And he said, we're examining you today. I was passed unanimously, but they had to put a little footnote from Mr. Piles, who said, Paul needs to be careful that he's not too cocky. I've been working on that ever since. But that wasn't what I wanted to tell you. So one of the questions I was asked was, what could happen in the ministry that could so discourage you that you would leave the pastorate? This is what the 27-year-old kid, me, said. When I stopped seeing lives change, whoa, how did I come up with that? And to be honest with you, I would still give the same answer today. Life is about life change. I'm sorry, church is about life change. Now, how do lives change? Certainly, God's Holy Spirit changes us through His Word, and He changes us from the inside out. But God's Spirit also is the curriculum. It is the platform. It is the realm in which life change happens. Wisdom. You got to have wisdom. I don't know if you ever read The Message. That's Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible. Peterson was a brilliant writer, a Presbyterian pastor. He was also a Hebrew scholar. So when he translated this, he translated it into very modern English, so it's easy to read. It's brilliant. But I want to read to you his introduction in the book of Proverbs. This is how he describes wisdom. Wisdom is the art of living skillfully in whatever actual conditions we find ourselves. It has virtually nothing to do with information as such. Wisdom has to do with becoming skillful in honoring our parents, raising our children, handling our money, conducting our sexual lives, going to work and exercising leadership, using words well and treating friends kindly, eating and drinking healthily, cultivating emotions within ourselves and attitudes towards others that make for peace. Threaded through all these items is the insistence that the way we think of and respond to God is the most practical thing we do. In matters of everyday practicality, nothing, absolutely nothing, takes precedence over God. That is wisdom. Wisdom is the skill of living, thinking, and relating that honors God and blesses people. So here's where we're going to go today in Proverbs 8. We're going to allow Lady Wisdom to be our moms. She's going to speak to us. Now, not with an Italian accent, but with a Hebrew accent. And she's going to invite us to come to the table of wisdom that we might learn about the skill of life and the skill of living life well and even with joy. The call of Lady Wisdom will come first. The rewards of Lady Wisdom will come second. I changed three to the credentials of Lady Wisdom comes third. The invitation of Lady Wisdom comes fourth. Now, Lady Wisdom, what are we talking about? She's a female character who is simply a personification of God's wisdom. Okay? It's a metaphor. It's a poetic metaphor to help make more real the abstract concept of wisdom. So it's not some lofty, esoteric thing. Wisdom becomes real when you see it in the flesh and bones of a lady. Lady Wisdom. It's a metaphor to help us understand what are we talking about when we talk about wisdom. In many ways, it's the same style of writing as a chapter before. Proverbs chapter 7 is all about the trap of adultery. And to help us understand the trap of adultery in Proverbs 7, we get introduced to the lady of adultery. The trap of adultery is depicted as a lustful, adulterous woman who charms you with her sultry promises that just turn out to be poisonous darts that destroy you. And instead of just giving you a warning, don't commit adultery, you get a picture of what it looks like. Just so we don't hear about how good wisdom is, we get a picture of what wisdom looks like and what she offers for skillful living for today. So here we go. You ready? The call of Lady Wisdom. And it's a call to everyone. And so we hear this. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop, along the roads, she takes her stand at the crossroads. So there she is. She's out there. She's like a street preacher. She's just out there preaching. She's the hot dog vendor. She's there for everybody. Everybody can see her. And you can just get whatever she's offering. I never get the stadium mustard, though. Do you get the stadium mustard? I'm just not a fan. I'm sorry, I'm in the minority. But she's got something better. The treasures that she has, the message that she has, she's out there proclaiming it. And it's for everybody. It's not just for the smart or for the clergy or for the philosophers or for the resourceful. This is for everybody. And notice where she is. She's in the busyness of life. She's on the street corners. She's on the busy streets downtown. She's on St. Clair Avenue. She's in the cafeteria of your school. She is where we live and move and exist because she's out there saying, I will make a difference right where you are living now. That's wisdom. I find it interesting she's not in the church or in the temple. Now, you'll get wise things, I hope, from your Sunday school teachers or small group leaders or even from up here. But the wisdom of living happens out there. And like Peterson said, it has to do with your money and the way you treat people. And it has to do with the way you treat your body. It has to do with everything out there. And the call for Lady Wisdom is to everyone, to you. And there's one caveat. She says it in verse 13, and it is the recurring line throughout the book of Proverbs. She says this, To fear the Lord is to hate evil. And that's the line throughout the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. And you think, well, what's that? What is the fear of the Lord? We tend to think dread. We tend to think terror when we hear the word fear. And at times, maybe, we tell our kids, the policeman is your friend, right? You don't fear him unless you're going 80 miles an hour down 271 and then he pulls you over and he comes to your door, your window. Then you fear him. In the same sense, so you fear the Lord if you're going 80 miles an hour in life and you're supposed to be going 55. But the fear here is something beyond that. Here's a word I want you to think of. When you think, do I fear the Lord? If this is the essence, the caveat of wisdom, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Think of the word perspective. Perspective? Yeah, perspective. We are seeking the wisdom of our God. Now think about how crazy that sounds. Our God is holy. Our God is sovereign. Our God is almighty. He is creator. He is sustainer. We want his wisdom. Where were you when that storm rolled in last night? That was something, wasn't it? Wow. The winds came and it was really something. Whoa. My lawn is really green right now. Is yours? It's kind of cool. It's a lush green. And now all of a sudden, colors are showing up. The blue of the crocuses and the flowers and everything that the 10 months of winter are over. And we're actually enjoying a little bit of color and light and the sea. Our God is the creator. And he is the sustainer of it all. And whether it's that storm or the green of your grass or the beauty of the crocuses, you got to kind of just step back and say, whoa. Can't help but tremble a little bit, right? Fear. It's more like, whoa, it's more like awe at the majesty and the greatness of God. And amazement that this creator, this sovereign, knows you, loves you, cares for you. Even when you don't know it. Perspective. Fear. It's the perspective of God is God and I'm not. God is holy and I'm not. It's a perspective. It's, think of it this way. It's respecting the difference in size between puny little me and Almighty God. That's fear. It's the essential criteria of attaining wisdom. Fear. Not in terror, but in awe. That involves obedience, that involves worship, and it leads to living life with his wisdom. You find wisdom when you have the perspective of who God is. And by the way, on the New Testament side of things, you'll find Christ. Because he's the bridge. He's the go-between between a holy God and a puny, unholy me. Wisdom says that he is the Lord of wisdom. I need to embrace him. That's the call of Lady Wisdom to everyone. Just like the invitation to come to Christ is to everyone. But the caveat is, for wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Keep yourself and him in the right perspective. Secondly, the rewards of Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom promises instruction that is better than silver. And knowledge that is better than gold. You see that? I have riches and honor as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages are better than sterling silver. Wisdom is the provider of all good things. And so I read these verses. I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. So then the question is, what I have up there. The rewards of Lady Wisdom, are they material or immaterial? Is the reward of wisdom success and wealth, or is it character and integrity and spiritual maturity? Well, she just said, with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. But then she says, my fruit is better than gold and better than rubies and better than silver. So material or immaterial rewards? Well, in a sense, both. But look at it this way. The material rewards of living a life of wisdom are the fringe benefits of pursuing something much higher. What do you mean by that? Fringe benefit. When I was the pastor of a megachurch, every 2 years, I was given a new car. That was really cool. Now, did I take that job because I got a new car? No, but it was a really cool benefit. If you live a life of wisdom, justice, integrity, spiritual knowledge, skill of living, there's a good chance one of the fringe benefits will be material goods. But now you'll have the wisdom to know how to deal with them, the skill of life in handling them. Because let's face it, silver, gold, rubies, it can't be the goal to life. So shallow. So unsatisfying, so potentially polluting. Can I say that? Dr. Bruce Waltke was a Hebrew professor. And in writing about this, he writes this. I thought this was profound. When wealth is sought, it corrupts. But when wisdom is sought, edifying wealth is given. When wealth is sought, it corrupts. If your whole focus in life, I'm going to college to be a business major, so I'll get rich. Look out, pal. But when wisdom is sought, edifying wealth is given. And so you're living life with skill. And part of the skill, potentially, if you're living in a third world country, this won't be the case. But here in a rich America, you're living life with skill. The potential is you'll get some wealth as a fringe benefit. But now, the wisdom that God gives you, the character, the integrity, the skill of living, so that you may know how to use that well. I mean, we all know the stories, right, of messes and disasters of people who have attained wealth and fame without wisdom and not knowing how to do with it at all. You know, we've read the stories of those that have won the lottery. And 6 months later, their lives are a mess, so they're addicted to something. Or how many professional athletes are making so much money, and yet they're so unwise, and they're messing up their lives big time. Wisdom rewards. For real, everyday life, you bet. But it's more than stuff. It's the heart and mind and skill to know what to do with the stuff. And to live life well, to pull it off. Thirdly, I wrote the eternality of Lady Wisdom. And then I wrote the credentials. What are the credentials? This is a really interesting passage here from verses 22 through 31. You read it, and you just sort of scratch your head. Like, huh? What's going on here? Because it sounds like Genesis. It sounds like the book of Job and the creation accounts that are written there. This section begins with, the Lord begot me at the beginning of creation. And then it's a whole passage on Lady Wisdom sort of being the Creator God's right-hand man in creating everything. This is her hymn. This is the hymn of her origins, where she talks about she existed before creation. She was God's advisor. Look at the text. When he gave the sea its boundaries so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when God marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side, or the architect at his side. She was saying, I was there. I was the architect. I was the craftsman. What is she saying? She has the blueprints to all of life. She knows how the world works. Ask her. She'll tell you how it's all put together. That's why wisdom fits. Wisdom for life, because she was there when life started, when the world was created. In the last bunch of years, we've done several additions to this building. We built that, then we built that back there. And every time we're in the process of building something, we'll be in a meeting to talk about, can we knock down that wall? Or do we have to dig here? And someone says, we better get the architect. We better look at the blueprints and see what's actually there. That's what she's saying. I wrote the blueprints. I was the architect. Wisdom, God's wisdom, is what created this world and your life. She has the credentials to be the lady of your life because she was the wise one at God's side as he made everything. Listen to wisdom, because wisdom knows how life is put together. And when you follow her, you will know how your life ought to be put together. And then finally, the invitation of Lady Wisdom. Like any good evangelistic street preacher, she concludes her message with an invitation. And it's an invitation to real life. And so, my children, listen to me. For all who follow my ways are joyful. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, watching for me outside my home. You want joy? The world and its wisdom will give you a recipe for joy. It often will take a whole lot of money. Sometimes it'll take illicit behavior. It's going to do all kinds of things, and it may give you a laughter for a moment or three. Lady Wisdom says, I'll tell you the way life is meant to be lived. And when you live that way, you'll have joy. You know who that sounds like, by the way? It sounds like Jesus. Jesus said, I will give you joy, not as the world gives, but I will give you abundant joy. And the invitation is, embrace me, and I will give you the joy of living life well. Not incorrectly, but well. This is the way you were made to live. I could turn this guitar around, and I could beat it like a drum. Really cool. That's not why that was made. If I pluck those six strings, it'll actually sound a lot better and bring you a lot more joy. That's what she's saying. I will demonstrate to you the way you were created. And when you live according to wisdom, you will find the joy of life. So here's the choice as we end. Proverbs does something very interesting. When you get to the end of chapter 8, you then have a choice and you get two people inviting you to make a decision. Lady Wisdom, and then you're introduced to Lady Folly. And we have to choose. If you're a parent, this is the choice you're telling your 11-year-old every week. You've got to make a choice. But you know what? It's not just for 11-year-olds. It's for 30 and begin to live. She invites us to her secure home, if you read that passage, and she prepares for us a scrumptious banquet. And she says, here, this is yours. Eat from it and you will have life. And I think of the phrase that we often say, you are what you eat. You're eating from wisdom. But then on the other is Lady Folly, and she's everywhere. She's on the internet. She's on the television. She's in advertising. She's everywhere you go. She's in the classroom. She's at work. She's everywhere. Lady Folly, and also invites you to come and eat. But instead of offering real life and real joy, she offers a life of deceit and a life with a selfish ends. Look at the phrase she uses. The woman named Folly is brash. Stolen water is refreshing. Food eaten in secret tastes the best. Stolen water. You know what Folly is telling you right now? You want to succeed? Cut corners. Break some rules. Don't worry about the consequences. Lie like mad, because it's all about you. And if you want to have fun, and if you want to exalt yourself, illicit behavior, it'll go. You can do it. Come on. Your choice. Your choice. Every day. So let me close with this. In your life arsenal, what do you have? What do you have to prepare you for the skills of life? And even more so, in your life's arsenal, what do you have to protect you from life's temptations, life's tricky choices? What do you have to protect you from Lady Folly? In many ways, you're sitting in a room of resources. Inasmuch as the Christian body are meant to be people that are wisdom, you can't do life alone. We do it together. Of course we have Christ, if you have embraced Christ as your Savior. Christ is our teacher. He's our Lord. He's our example. His Holy Spirit empowers us to live well. But you know who's often the missing ingredient, even in the church, in the arsenal of life? It's wisdom. We think if we can just live our life by formulas or maybe a few rules, we'll just be fine. Wisdom comes along and says, you find me and you find life. And I will give you the skill to live, think, and relate, honoring God and blessing people. That's wisdom. Make it your life pursuit. Please pray with me. Father, I pray for all my friends in this room. I pray for the choices they're about to make this week. I pray for the track of life that we're all on. Sometimes we're chasing folly. Sometimes we're chasing wisdom. Thank you for the book of Proverbs, Father, that in a sense is a primer on wisdom. Help us to know how to live life beyond the rules and beyond the formulas. Help us to know how to live with wisdom. I pray for my friends right now, even as they seek that. Thank you that Christ is the wisdom of God. May he not only just be our Lord, but our example and our teacher to live the way you meant us to live. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.